I want to welcome those who are watching online. I noticed there were several from northern states, from Hawaii, and all over. We're praying for our friends who have suffered through tornadoes this week. And if you're from one of those areas, just know the hearts of the people here in Oklahoma are with you and your families. If you have a Bible here in the room, turn to Daniel chapter 12. And while you're turning, I want to ask a question. How many of you growing up had a mom or a grandma who would say to you right before you were to walk out the door, listen, put on your coat, put on your hat, it's cold out there, you're going to catch a chill and die of a cold? How many of you ever had someone tell you that? Lift your hand. All right, okay. Most of you. All right, listen, if I came to your house and said, putting on a hat, putting on a coat during chilly weather outside will not prevent you from catching a cold, how would you feel? You probably wouldn't like it. You've been told all of your life something different. But the AMA has done 23 peer-reviewed studies, and it shows that cold weather does not any more give you the virus of a cold than hot weather. Colds are caught by viruses, not chill in the air. But my point is simply this. If you've been told something else, and I come in and contradict what you've been told and the way you've lived, you're not real happy. You think I may be the death of your children or your grandchildren. So it is this morning in our study. I'm going to tell you some things that you probably have never heard. In fact, it will be contrary to what you've been taught. And if you're like some Christians, you don't like to hear things that are different than what you've always believed, what you've always been taught, and what you've always said. But I want to share some good news with you about this church. The Bible tells us, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You're in a fellowship where disagreement is not only welcomed, it's cherished. There is no way in this world that you must believe a certain thing in order to be in good standing with this church. You say, now, wait a minute. What about who Jesus is and how a person is saved? No, I get that. That's the fundamentals of Christianity. But on everything else, on the non-essentials, love encompasses our disagreement. And what I share with you in just a moment, don't believe it because I say it. Go search it out for yourself. We're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, where the Bible says, at that time, Michael shall arise. And I hope to show you that this text gives us some of the greatest messianic hope. What I mean by that is, this text that we're about to read encourages us, helps us, gives us inspiration in days that seem dark, like 2021. We have seen in our study of Daniel that Jesus Christ came to Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, to inaugurate his kingdom. It is an everlasting kingdom. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that kingdom is being built today. When Jesus builds his kingdom, all that means is people come to faith in him. They trust him. And they enter in to his kingdom. They become citizens of the kingdom of Christ, sons or daughters of God. It's being built today. I know you turn on the news and it seems as if the world's falling apart, but if I took time to explain to you all the good things that are happening around the world, we'd be here till next Christmas. Chinese are coming to faith in Jesus Christ by the millions. Yes, the CPC, the government, is trying to put Christians in concentration camps and ultimately to death if they don't recant, just like they are the Muslims in China? Because the Communist Party in China does not want anyone believing in a deity that is greater than the Chinese government. I mean, I get that. But they cannot stop Christ from building his kingdom. You remember what he said to Peter? Who am I? And Peter says, some say you're Elijah, others John the Baptist, risen from the dead. But who do you say I am, Peter? And Peter said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Peter, for this knowledge. It didn't come from man, it came from heaven. And I say to you, upon this rock, Roman Catholic Church gets this wrong. Our Roman Catholic friends say the rock is Peter. He's the first pope. No, the rock is Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Most Christians have a down-in-the-mouth view of the power of the kingdom of Christ. They think the world is winning, that Satan, the prince, power of this air, is defeating the Christian church. No, 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 and 1,000 times no. Gates are defensive weapons. Jesus is attacking hell, and he's pulling citizens of his kingdom out, and the gates of hell will not prevail in keeping people in blindness. One day, Jesus will return and consummate his kingdom. This is the message of the prophet Daniel. In our study, we have seen several things about Daniel, the man who wrote this scroll. First, he lived 600 years before Jesus was born. He was born in 625 BC, and he died in 535 BC at the age of 90. He lived his entire life in Babylonian captivity. He was a slave to the kings of Babylon. You know Babylon today as the countries of Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. In Daniel's day, they encompassed the kingdom of Babylon. God gave to Daniel the gift of prophecy. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that a prophet in the Old Testament was one who only foresaw the future. Yes, that is true. This is what Daniel did do. He saw into the future, but a prophet is one who speaks the word of God to people. That's all. And Daniel's message to the people was very clear. The theme of the scroll of Daniel was that God, through visions, showed Daniel that he was bringing an end to the agreement that God had with the nation of Israel. This is what Daniel saw. Now, if you're sitting here today, a citizen of the United States of America, you're not a Jew, a member of the nation of Israel, not born in Jerusalem like Daniel and so on. You may say to yourself, well, that doesn't make me any difference. I don't care. That's just old, dead history. No, it's not. It affects your life. Let me show you what I mean. The agreement that Yahweh, the Lord, made with one nation among all the nations of the world was a special agreement that we call the Old Covenant. You read about it and the nation of Israel in what you call the Old Testament. But Daniel and the Jews, the people of Israel, didn't call it old. It was the agreement they had with Yahweh. What was that agreement? The Lord said to them at Mount Sinai through Moses, if you walk in my statutes and you keep my commandments, then I shall give you blessing. This old agreement is an if-then agreement. But if, the Lord says in the same chapter, you do not obey me and do not carry out my commandments, then, O nation of Israel, in turn, I will appoint you to sudden terror and your enemies will conquer you. Now, The people of Israel, when they heard this arrangement, all shouted together in unison, "All this we accept. Moses, we will do. Yes, yes, yes." And of course, you know, the story of the nation of Israel is one of failure. They broke the agreement. Now, I'm about to tell you two things that if you can remember these, they're in your notes. If you can keep them in your mind, you will understand the Old Testament better than you've ever understood it before. It will turn the light bulb on for you. You remember when Israel became a nation? They entered into the land of Canaan and conquered the Canaanites. And then the Lord blessed them, and they were established as a nation with kings. Three of them, Saul, David, and Solomon, all three reigned for 40 years apiece. But in 931, a civil war broke out. When the third king, King Solomon, died, his son wanted to tax the people even greater than his father. 10 of the tribes of Israel who lived in the north broke away. That kingdom of the north was called the kingdom of Israel. Two tribes in the south, loyal to the king, became known as the kingdom of Judah. The predominant tribe was the tribe of Judah, and then the little tribe of Benjamin joined Judah. So you have two kingdoms in 931 BC that formed the nation of Israel. In 722 BC, this is what you need to remember. The northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by the world's first empire called Assyria. You know Assyria through the book of Jonah. Nineveh was the capital. God had sent the prophet Jonah to the Assyrians to tell them the good news that he, the Lord of Israel, could save the Assyrians. By the way, anybody who tells you the Lord had no relationship with other nations in the Hebrew Scriptures is just not telling you the truth. He did. But to the nation of Israel, he had a very, very special agreement, the if-then agreement. The northern kingdom of Israel broke that agreement. They began worshiping other gods. And so the Lord, just like he promised in Leviticus, in the inauguration of this old covenant, another nation came in, destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. You know what Assyria did to the northern kingdom in 722 BC? They took the men out of Israel and enslaved them. They're called the 10 lost tribes. Then they brought in pagan men and forced them to intermarry with the women of northern Israel. And their descendants became known to the southern kingdom of Judah as half-breeds. And the Judites, you know them as Jews. Jew is an abbreviation of Judah. The Judites hated the half-breed descendants of the northern kingdom of Israel. The capital of the northern kingdom was called Samaria. And so these children of the intermarriages were called the Samaritans, and the Jews in Jesus' day would have nothing to do with them, would walk around the northern kingdom of Samaria, but not the Messiah. He must needs go through Samaria. And he met a half-breed woman at a well, the Samaritan woman, and he gave her eternal life. This is what the new agreement does. Jesus, the inaugurator of the new agreement with the world, he goes after the least, the littlest, and the lost. And you always want to make sure you find a church that is preaching the new covenant, the new agreement, because if it is an old conditional covenant, people will be measuring others. Are they good enough for us? But Jesus comes and he finds a woman who was an adulterer, whose reputation was not good, and he gives her everlasting life. I just got to compliment you, pat you on the back. You are a new agreement church, a new covenant church. That party we talked about early in the service for those Marshallese kids, We are embracing the Marshallese and the Chukis. We have men getting out of prison who come to our church, and we embrace them. Why? Because we have a new agreement to tell them about, and we'll get there in just a moment. In 586 BC, this is the second thing you need to remember. The kingdom of Judah, where Daniel was from, fell to Babylon. Babylon had conquered Assyria, and then they swooped down and captured Judah. Assyria had tried to conquer Judah, but you read the great story of how Yahweh saved Judah through Hezekiah the king. Now, years later, 150 years later, here comes Babylon to conquer Judah. Why? Why does the Lord allow another nation to come to the southern kingdom and conquer them during the days of Daniel? Why? The Lord tells us through the prophet Jeremiah. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. In other words, Israel and Judah broke the agreement. And the Lord fulfilled his promise. Daniel understood that because he knew the Torah. He knew the law. He knew the agreement that God had made with Israel. And so when he's taken captive, he prays to the Lord. We've seen it in Daniel 9. And he says, oh Lord, we, Judah, we have acted wickedly and rebelled. We are under the law's curse. But oh Lord, what about us? We are your people. Jerusalem is your city. Lord, please, I know we've broken the agreement, but Lord, please be merciful. And the Lord responds, as he always does to anyone who pleads for mercy. And he says, Daniel, I'm not going to restore the covenant. It's been broken. And I'm divorcing Judah. But Daniel, I'm going to do something more fantastic. I'm going to inaugurate a new agreement, not just for the Jews, but for all the peoples of all the nations of the world. We call this new agreement the New Covenant. And it is a work of the Lord. Now follow me. This end of the old agreement with the nation of Israel would occur simultaneously with the inauguration of the new agreement with the world. And Gabriel is the messenger from the Lord who brings the good news of this new agreement. Throughout the Bible, it is Gabriel who announces the good news of the new covenant. Now, I realize that in our day, when we think of an angel, we always think of a person with wings, an angelic spiritual being. And that's how our artistic imaginations see angels. But I have to remind you that when the Lord sent messengers, that's what the word angel means, messenger, they were always in the appearance of men. Now, absolutely, there are beings like seraphim and cherubim that have wings, that are angelic beings. But when the Lord communicates good news to the world, he sends Gabriel, who looks like a man. And so he told Joseph and Mary, you're going to have a son. He is the new Israel. And he's coming as the Messiah, the anointed one, to inaugurate a new agreement with the world. He will establish his kingdom, which will be everlasting. And by the way, Gabriel says, you shall call his name Yeshua. How would you like it if I came to the hospital room when your wife was giving birth to a child, or your granddaughter was giving birth to your grandchild, and I walk into the room and I said, now listen to me. You're giving birth to a child, and you will call this child by this name. And then I give you the name. You wouldn't like it, would you? No, of course not. This is your child. So why in the world did Gabriel name the child of Mary and Joseph? Because it's the Lord's child. It is the Messiah. Gabriel went on to say to Mary, when she objected and said, I haven't even been with a man. How can I give birth to a child? And the messenger from the Lord said to Mary, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. Therefore, that which is born inside of you will be from God, and he will be the Son of God. And you shall call his name Yeshua, which in Hebrew, Joshua, is transliterated into English, means he will save his people. Now here we come with some good news. Are you ready for this? The new agreement precisely parallels the old agreement, except that the true Israel is Jesus. There's a great story of how when Jesus is a boy, Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night, and they departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod the king that we looked at last week in Daniel 11. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. This is a quotation of Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever read Hosea chapter 11, verse 1? It's talking about the nation of Israel that the Lord called out of Egypt. And he called the nation of Israel, my son. Yet when you come to the new agreement scriptures, the new covenant, the New Testament, the Bible says Jesus went down to Egypt to fulfill what the prophet Hosea said. Out of Egypt, I called my son. I know you know this because I've told you over and over again, but it's worth remembering. Jesus is the true Israel. Here's what I mean. The old covenant was given to the nation of Israel to show the world mankind is not as hot and cracked up as we think we are. We all have problems. There is no righteousness that we can obtain for ourselves that makes us acceptable to the holy God. Therefore, the Lord says, in my love for mess ups like the world, I'm going to come and do what national Israel failed to accomplish. Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses in every jot and tittle. By the way, we do these slides 2 weeks in advance. I prepare series weeks in advance, and then I give the staff the slides, and Jackson proofs the slides, and he came to this last slide that said Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses and every jot and tittle. And he came to me and he said, I think maybe you made a typo. Jot and tittle? Did you mean to say that? I don't know what that is. And I'm like, Jackson, it is so cool to have staff members who are under the age of 30. Because I have to explain what jot and tittle is. And that's good for me. I can't assume that people know. Are you ready for this? When the agreement with the nation of Israel was written, it was written in Hebrew. And the smallest letter of Hebrew, dash, is called a jot, and even smaller is a tittle. It would be similar to the dot above the English I. What the Gospels are saying is this: Jesus came to fulfill what national Israel failed. And Jesus did it. Watch. He went down to Egypt, just like Egypt, came out, baptized at Bethabara, at the very place the nation of Israel crossed Jordan. Jesus was born during the National Festival of Tabernacles, died National Festival of Passover, in the tomb, National Festival of Unleavened Bread, rose on the National Festival of the Waving of the First Sheaves, sent his Spirit, the National Festival of Pentecost, and as we'll see next week as we conclude Daniel 12, came to end the old agreement during the National Festival of Trumpets, when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army in the fall of AD 70. Jesus fulfilled
the law.
Now here is the new agreement. Those who trust the Lord receive a righteousness that is not your own. Unbelievable. This is what the Bible teaches. By the way, this is really, really good news. Because here's the deal. I realize that when you go talk to people about Jesus, the anointed one, we have very little understanding of the Bible in our day. I get it. So what we've done, I feel tragically, is we have simplified the gospel into this little trite saying, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you invited Jesus to come into your life? And I know why we do that, because nobody knows anything about the good news. Let me say to you, even a person who asked Jesus in their heart, asked Jesus to be their Lord, their boss, they're saved. They're saved because God saves them. But Christians, one of the reasons we are powerless in our churches is because we don't understand the basis of our acceptance before the Lord. You see, here's the deal. Even though the ancient hymns sing about it, they teach us how to sing about the righteousness of God. Even though the Old Testament is replete with verses of trusting Yahweh, we don't understand what it is that we are to trust. And here's what we're to trust. Him. Him. I don't know who you are, where you've come from. I don't know how many promises you've broken. I don't know what it's been like in your life. I don't know how many times you've been arrested. I don't know what you struggle with in private. But hear me now. When you come to the point of trusting Him for your righteousness, then you can go to bed at night and you can be at peace that tomorrow the blessing of God is yours because you're trusting the righteousness of Yeshua, who saves you, not your own. Two quick things before we look at the text. Man, I gotta go fast. Two quick things. Friday night, the wind comes howling down the Oklahoma plains. I'm driving by our new office on South Van Buren. My wife has done a great job decorating. There's some wreaths. I don't know how much they are, Rochelle. This $8.95 at Hobby Lobby. Oh, she says a little bit more. I don't know. But as I'm driving by, I see the middle wreath fall off. I mean, right then. It didn't fall off all winter. Right then it falls off. And I'm telling you, it was halfway to Oklahoma City before I could catch it. And I felt in my heart, oh my goodness, can you imagine the Williams and the One Committee and so on with this tree being broken? Now watch. I say that to say, things happen in your life and you wonder why. At night, when you go to sleep, you remember this. The punishments of God were borne by Yeshua. And when you wake up and go to bed, the blessings of God are yours because of the righteousness of Yeshua. By the way, if you grew up in another denomination like the Nazarene denomination and others, and this is not in any form or fashion, any denigration of my friends who are Nazarene. There are so many things that we could say of Baptists that I have said of Baptists that we need to clean up our act in some things. But listen, if you grew up in a denomination that is old covenant based, and it's all an if then, if you will, then God will. If you will do this, then God will bless you. You never can be sure that the blessings of God are yours. But when you come to faith in Yeshua and trust Yahweh for your righteousness, He is your King of all kings. Got a favor to ask, Jackson. Don't start yet, okay? Don't start yet. I will turn to you and say, Jackson, let's do it. Let's go quick. Verse 1. Now at that time, Michiel, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Let me pause right there. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. The ancient Hebrew scholars, all to a man, believed Michiel was the title for the Messiah. You don't because your mom told you to put your coat and your hat on. And you're really upset with anybody who tells you different. I get it. Don't believe me. Go pick up the 8-page appendix that's at the back, and I will trace for you the use of Michiel, a title. This is Jesus, the anointed one who stands guard over God's people and rescues them. At that time, he will arise. What time? End of Hebrews 11 is the time of King Herod. We saw it last week. Verse 2. And during his day, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. The word contempt was left off the slide. Everlasting contempt. Have you ever asked yourself the question why, when Jesus rose from the grave, there were people who rose from the graves at that time? What was all that about? Next week we'll talk more about it when we finish Daniel 12. But the Bible says that when Jesus rose from the grave, old covenant faithful people who were looking for the coming of the Messiah also rose as a confirmation that Yeshua had come. Verse 3. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But, Daniel, as for you, conceal these words, seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Look at that phrase. Seal this scroll. Seal it until the end of time. What time? The end of the old agreement. Now, give me 2 minutes, and then Jackson, you can start. Here we go. At that time is the time of King Herod. Michiel, who is like God? Michiel shall arise. To do what? To do what you can't. To be fully obedient to the standard of God's law. The Messiah would arise during the time that Herod annihilated many. Looked at this last week. Every Jewish boy under the age of 2, King Herod wanted dead because everybody knew the Messiah was coming because they'd read Daniel, they'd read Micah, they'd read Jeremiah, they read Hosea. In the middle of the last 7 years of Daniel's vision, in Daniel 9, it's called the 70th week of Daniel. The Messiah is cut off. I've done this before. I don't have time to review it. In the middle of that 70th week, Messiah is cut off. You can count from the days of the king of Persia when he issued the decree in Ezra 7 to rebuild Jerusalem. Count 490 years. You come to 483 years in AD 26 when Jesus is baptized. And that is the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. The Messiah is cut off in the middle of that week to establish a new covenant, a new agreement with his body and blood. This is why the night before he died, he gave the bread and he gave the juice and he said, take, eat, and drink. This is my body and blood shed for you. A new agreement. Daniel's 70th week, from AD 26, the baptism of Jesus, to AD 33, is characterized by 7 years of great conflict. By the way, do you know what happened in AD 33? Now you can begin, Jackson. Stephen was stoned. A Jew who had come to faith in Yeshua. At the end of Daniel's 70th week, he's taken out by other Jews, and he is stoned. And guess what? A teacher of teachers, Pharisee of Pharisees, Saul, was standing there giving approval. In the Old Testament, adultery was always punished through stoning. And it's almost as if Yahweh symbolically was saying, all right, Jewish people, you broke covenant. And in a while, the Romans are going to come and stone your city and stone the temple. But you're stoning the man who's telling you to trust me. You say, now, wait a minute. That's 33 AD. But when did the old covenant come to an official end? Well, recognize this. Every time God changes his dealings with the world, there's always a period of 40. It's in your notes. When Jesus died in AD 30, midweek, Daniel's 70th week, 40 years pass before the Romans come and hurl massive stones and tear down the temple in Jerusalem and tear down the walls, and the Jews are scattered all over the world. Why do you think for the first 40 years the good news of Jesus Christ was to go to the Jews first? Because it was as if the loving Lord of the universe was saying to the people who broke covenant with him, I still love you, but you gotta trust me, not yourself. And I would say to everyone seated in this room, if you go to bed at night trusting your own righteousness, you'll never be confident in the love of God. But when you turn to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah who came to establish a new agreement, you trust him. He ended the old covenant within a generation of his resurrection. And he said that in Matthew 24. He said, within a generation, all these things will occur. Do you remember how Daniel was told to seal the scroll until the time of the end? You open up the book of Revelation. And John writes, and he says, listen, Christians, I'm about to tell you what is soon to take place. The temple is spoken of in Revelation as if it is still standing. It's not yet been destroyed. Within just a few months, John says, soon, very shortly, all this is going to happen. The end of the agreement God had with the nation of Israel will come, but the kingdom will go to the world. And guess what? The scroll was opened by the man in linen. The man in linen in the book of Daniel that Daniel saw seated in the dais, high and lifted up. The scroll is opened in Revelation, one seal at a time, by Jesus, the anointed one. And he is saying, accept me. You, the people said, you are worthy, O Lord, to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons. Look at this now. From every tribe, every nation, every language, every people. Unbelievable. This is the good news, that when you come to faith in Yeshua, you're accepted by God. Men, listen to me. You are put in prison because of your deeds. You are not set free by your deeds. You are set free through trust in Jesus, the Anointed One. Amen. Oh, my heavens, find a church that teaches the good news of Yeshua, because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next week, we'll close out our study of Daniel. 2 weeks from today, Christmas, the day after, two special services, 9 and 11. Remember the time, 9 and 11 on that Sunday and then the following. Jackson and I will work together to review all 12 chapters of Daniel. And then while we're reviewing, we'll stand and sing these great hymns that speak of why Jesus came. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other hope is seeking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let's stand together. This will be our dismissal. Can we sing that song? On Christ the solid rock I stand. Can you remember it? I just quoted it, Jackson. Let's sing.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.